welcome to another episode of the Extraordinary Moms Podcast. I'm Jessica Dahlquist, your host, and every Tuesday I interview a different mom who shares their motherhood journey and the lessons they've learned along the way. If I've learned anything from interviewing such a wide range of moms, it's that no two extraordinary moms look the same. We all have a story to tell, and we are all mothering in our own way. So let's celebrate that and learn from one another. Thanks for listening, and if you like what you hear, please share the show with a friend. Hi, friends. Happy Friday. Thanks for joining us on the Extraordinary Moms Podcast. I'm so glad to be with you for another episode. So I'm really excited that I'll get to share with you who our Extraordinary Mom of the Month winner is. But first, I want to tell you about a great opportunity for your whole family for the month of December. Remember how we did the Give with Thanks tree last month when we did the acts of service all throughout November? And there was that great tree that you could print out and the leaves you could put on the tree and adapt however you wanted to use it for your family. Well, the Small Seed has done it again, and it's called the Light the World Challenge. And if you go to thesmallseed.com, I'll link to it in the show notes at extraordinarymomspodcast.com, you can print out all the same similar printables, but it's for the month of December. And December 1st, which was yesterday, is the National Day of Service. And so it's just meant to encourage your family to get out there and serve. It doesn't have to be in huge, extraordinary ways. It can be in the simple, everyday things. Something that my family did that was really fun was on Thanksgiving Day, during our feast and everything, where we're enjoying so many blessings and just so much bounty, my aunt had the great idea of having a table set up with lots of different supplies so the kids could assemble homeless care packages. And then each of us could take home a few packages. There were socks in there and crackers and McDonald's gift cards and lots of just different little things that a homeless person could really benefit from especially during the winter months. And so now I have those in a Ziploc baggie. We keep those in the car. And then if we see somebody asking for money along the side of the road, we can give them one of those care packages. And it's better than just giving cash, in my opinion, because it really gives them some tangible things that they could really use right off the bat. So that was one act of service that we really loved putting together as a family. And now we can do that. I have four in my car. So throughout the month, if we see four different opportunities, we can give those out. And my kids took a lot of pride in that activity. So for the Light the World Challenge, you can go to thesmallseed.com, just like I said, and there's a beautiful printable, there's instructions for ideas for acts of service, a calendar for acts of service that will give you ideas on how to serve with your family. I mean, I think you can think of 100 things that you could do, whether it's doing something in your neighborhood or for your church or for the kids at school or a homeless shelter, whatever it may be. I mean, even just going to a neighbor's house and singing a Christmas carol, that's a great act of service. But having it be a little bit more organized is a great way to make sure that you actually do it and actually follow through. And sure, maybe you don't get to something every single day, but one day out of December is better than no days out of December. And so that calendar will really help you give great ideas. There's a beautiful quote. And there's a beautiful tree. There's that beautiful Thanksgiving tree from the Give with Thanks challenge. But this one is a beautiful black and white Christmas tree that you can print out just as large. Get the engineering print at Staples, just like Melanie Burke mentioned in that episode from last month. Put that on the wall. There's paper ornaments that you can print out as well, so you can write down what those acts of service were. Have your kids paste those on the tree. And just think of how your holidays can just be illuminated by really participating in this acts of service. And they're encouraging you to use the hashtag #LightTheWorld so that you can share all these acts of service. And then you can go to that hashtag and see what people from all around the world are doing as we celebrate this holiday and the true meaning of the holiday. Sometimes it's so easy to get caught up in the hustle and bustle and the things of Christmas, right? The parties, the gifts, the decorations, the lights. And while all of that is great and well-meaning in a lot of ways, what is this holiday about? It's truly about the Savior. And the Savior taught us that He is the light of the world, and we are to be the light of the world as well by sharing His light. And as we share our light with others, it just becomes contagious. And so whether it's smiling at someone or being extra kind to the checker at the grocery store, or whether it's doing something as a whole family and really doing it in a more organized way, I encourage you to do more acts of service this holiday season and to write it on a piece of paper and put it up on the wall for all to see so that we can really remember the things that we're doing. And, you know, in life, you can really find the things that you're seeking. So if you are focusing on service and seeking out acts of service, you will see an abundance of opportunities. You just have to be looking for them. And so let's all try and get in that mindset. And if we all do that, think of what a ripple effect that will have. It's kind of like those commercials where one person sees somebody else do something kind, and then they do something kind, and then it ripples and ripples and ripples. Let's be that agent of change. Let's be the start of that ripple so that other people will feel inclined to do service as well. And we could really change a lot of lives this holiday season. So check out extraordinarymomspodcast.com, and I'll link there to thesmallseed.com, and you can get in on the Light the World Challenge. I'm so excited to do it with my family. Melanie Burke designed all the printables again, and she is so talented. That is a beautiful Christmas tree I would love to have on my wall, and I will. So check that out if you think that's something you might be interested in. So you guys made it really tough on me this month to choose an Extraordinary Mom of the Month winner. There were just so many good nominations. And even if the person you nominated didn't win, it does not make them not extraordinary. But I bet they felt so good to receive that shout out online and to just be recognized as an extraordinary mom, whether they won or not. Every single nomination was so impressive to me. So thanks for nominating. And if they didn't win this month, you can always re-nominate next month or think of somebody new to nominate, because that really just makes their day and it gives me great new opportunities to meet some extraordinary moms and have them on the show. But this month, our Extraordinary Mom of the Month winner is Elizabeth Shaw. And she was extraordinary for so many reasons. I'm going to read you the nomination in just a sec when I get her on the call. But I think you'll see very quickly how, after going through a lot of challenges in her motherhood journey, she just continues to overcome those and thrive in her role as a mom to three little ones. So let's get chatting with Elizabeth. I'm so excited to hear what she has to say about her motherhood journey. All right, I want to welcome Elizabeth. Hi, Lisa.
Hello.
How are you?
Good, thank you.
Good. You are Extraordinary Mom of the Month Award winner. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Your friend thinks very highly of you and just how positive you are about motherhood, but also how real you are about motherhood, which is, yes, I think, a great compliment that you can be transparent. You're not just trying to put on this front that you have it all together, but that you can, yes, really be vulnerable with your mom friends to show, hey, I'm doing a good job, but, you know, so are you, and we're all in this together.
Definitely, definitely. That's the most important thing, I think, for me, is to be transparent. So.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, why don't you give a little background on your motherhood journey for all of us?
I started my motherhood journey, I had my daughter almost 7 years ago in Connecticut when I was living there, and I went back to work full time. About 2 years later, we got pregnant with our second. And at that time decided that, my husband would take a job in Pennsylvania, Lancaster, Pennsylvania, which is very different from, Connecticut, which we didn't really realize. So I left my job and we moved, and I became a full, time stay-at-home mom once we got to Pennsylvania. And that was when I was, 2 months away from giving birth. And, I had my second, son, Nolan. And after that, it was hard because I didn't know, like, what stay-at-home momness was like. Darkness started settling in, spoke with a counselor I had known from Connecticut, who kind of pinpointed that this is postpartum depression. It took me about 4 weeks to finally get up the courage to call a doctor, and I didn't even have a primary care physician or anybody here in Pennsylvania yet. I kind of bounced from doctors to doctors trying to figure out what to do, therapists trying to find, you know, it's kind of hard sometimes to find the best therapist.
Absolutely.
Through that, so that started kind of in March, and then it kind of just got worse and worse, and it was where I feel I didn't have any joy. My husband would probably say he saw moments of joy with my children, but I was under such a heavy blanket of darkness that it was hard to see anything, and it was just a constant telling myself how horrible I was. You know, that's kind of what depression is. And And it's different for different people for the postpartum, but that was how it was for me. And so it escalated to the point where in June, I admitted myself into the hospital for 3 days. My son was 6 months old then, and because I had a plan to harm myself, and people said it was courageous and, you know, way to go, but I felt, you know, full of shame and embarrassed, and it was the hardest thing I've had to do. Ever.
Wow.
And so I was in the hospital, and from there, I guess you could say there was pieces of me, you know, torn apart, and I had to rebuild myself through hundreds of hours.
Probably thousands by now, yeah.
I know, I think so, because I had a lot. And medication at one point, and the main thing, acceptance of where I was at. And from that, I've taken every day now is to accept where I'm at in the day. And that was a huge lesson. And so it took about 2 years of working and making a choice every day to keep going. And with the support of my husband and my mom friends, so much, you know, came around me and just still to this day supported me. So from then, I didn't think I was going to have another child. We always wanted three, but I didn't want to subject myself or my family to what we had gone through. And, but then I was told that depression is probably something I'm going to deal with the rest of my life on and on,
wow,
on and off. And that kind of, in a way, freed me to say, okay, I think we could do this again and have another baby.
Wow.
And so we got pregnant last year, and 7 weeks later, I miscarried. And that was, I never thought that would happen to me. You just hear about it, and not until you experience it do you really understand it. I was shocked by how I had to grieve that experience. I was scared that it was going to trigger a depressive episode, but it didn't, which showed me I was much stronger than I've ever been.
Right.
And so that was really, really difficult, though. And then we surprisingly, not planned really, got pregnant again a couple months later. And so now I have had Colin 2.5 months ago. And that whole journey of being pregnant with him was kind of my way to grieve through the miscarriage and also to get courage and be empowered that I, even if I get sick again this time, that I have more tools, I have more friends, I have so much more in place, and I'm such a different person that I can handle it, hopefully different. And so, but I was extremely scared. So, but so far things have been really good. And I feel like because of that journey that I went through with postpartum depression and the miscarriage, that every moment is just so much more joyful. And those, even, I mean, of course it's still so much work.
Yeah.
And, you know, exhausting, but, I find that in those moments of a smile or, you know, something. I just wrap myself around it so much tighter because I don't know if, you know, what tomorrow is going to bring. So,
right.
So I've really, truly evolved as a mother, and I feel so much more complete now and content in my role as a mother. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's in a nutshell.
Well, you express yourself very beautifully in a nutshell for that dramatic story. You are extraordinary, and I would call you brave for checking yourself in. This type of story is so near and dear to my heart because I lost a dear friend to postpartum depression and psychosis and bipolar. She didn't see a way out, and she was receiving treatment, and she did her part. And I think what was especially overwhelming to her, I can't speak for her, but what I understand is that picturing her life going forward, continuing to deal with these types of mental health issues was too much.
Yeah.
Crying. So, you know,
and
so
I totally get that.
And I think that's a relatable feeling. And sometimes even just motherhood can feel like too much, you know, like you're in the newborn stage right now.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You said you were up a lot of the night with your newborn, and it's like, sometimes you just think, I got to do this again. I got to say, you love these kids. You really, really do. And you don't doubt that, but you do doubt your own capacity sometimes to be able to handle everything coming at you, don't you?
Oh yeah, totally. And that's where I I've had a couple, you know, off days lately, and especially the past week, and I try not to let myself think, oh my goodness, I'm going to kind of go down that rabbit hole
again.
But it is a decision every morning to get up and to live for just that moment and not think ahead. Because if you think ahead, it's overwhelming for anybody. This is not just people with depression, mm-hmm. but I have been there, and I feel so for those women who are just stuck and locked in their own brains and putting themselves down and the stigma of mental illness. And I had never, you know, truly understood it until now. And my heart breaks for those women who have lost their fight with this, because this is a true battle. This is a true fight. This is a real thing, and it kills so many people. And I was right there, you know, and it's scary to me to think I was right there, but I am so thankful that I made it, and I'm still making it. But again, it's a constant struggle.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. And I think that's a great point. Like you said, it took 2 years, you know, for you to really feel kind of like yourself, or at least a new version of yourself again.
Oh, totally.
And I think so many times as moms, we want the quick fix. We don't like the waiting part. We don't like the enduring part. And we kind of want, okay, if we go to the doctor, then I'm going to be better quick, right? And even I think the misconception is, okay, if you get on medicine, it's going to kick in right away and you're going to be feeling like yourself. But even that takes a while to ramp up. So it's just really a test of your patience to hang tough and hang tight while all those things are improving overall. Because they can improve, but it's going to be a little while.
It takes a long time. The first therapist I went and I said, what do I have? Tell me, what do I have? How do I fix this? And she didn't want to go and really point blank, tell me what I had. And I wanted that answer. I wanted that fix. But, and it frustrates me sometimes for people who tell me they just go to a doctor who writes them a prescription. And that's not going, the combination of therapy and medication is like really what really helps. I mean, again, it's everybody's different. But it does take time, and it took it. And I had again and again hit the wall. Are you serious? Am I still dealing with this? Why can't I be over? And that's where you have to find that person inside of you, that strength, or the people around you to rally. Like the women in my life have encouraged me so much, even with my newborn, and just reminding me and telling me truths. This is who you are, Elizabeth. You can do this. Look what you've been through. Look where you're going. And my faith in Jesus also has just helped me get through all of this. And so, it's a big thing.
Sometimes you just have to believe other people, right? Like, you know that your own critical inner monologue is probably lying, and you might know that, but it's so hard to not believe it, right? Because it's so loud. But if you have an inner circle encouraging you and supporting you, and even if it's just one other person, you know, I feel bad for women that think like, oh, I don't have that many mom friends or that many people that understand. It just takes one. And even if it's your therapist, you know, find that one person or your spouse or someone that you can really confide in, and then just believe them. And if you can find somebody else who's been through something similar to validate these feelings and validate, you can still be a good mom through this. You can still be a great mom through this.
Yes. And my husband had to show me, he showed me a video and he said, Elizabeth, look at yourself. This is like 2 days after you came out of the hospital, and here you are holding your children, smiling, running around, laughing with them. Like, look at, like, this is, so whenever I would feel the guilt that all mothers feel of, I missed out on my son's babyhood, and I missed out on my daughter when she was, you know, 3 years old. No, I didn't. I really was there. It's just hard, you know, it just kind of mirrored, kind of just smashed in the middle of all the rest of the stuff. But,
and I'm especially proud of you too, because around this idea of mental health, there's a stigma, and people don't talking about it, and they're embarrassed, or they want to tell a little bit, but not that much. And but gosh, there's so many people that feel alone because they think they're the only ones that think this way or feel this way. But to hear somebody so brave like you thriving in motherhood now, despite continual ongoing mental health challenges, been some hard days this week even, you're still doing it, and they can still do it too, but they're not alone in this. So I'm so proud of your bravery in that.
Thank you. And it's hard to accept any positivity.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Hearing you say this, I'm trying to soak it in. So
you need
thank
to,
you
yeah.
so much.
Yeah. No,
but
I mean that.
It is true. It is true.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And even if there's just one person listening that woke up this morning feeling like that dark cloud is hovering over them and they're like, oh, me too. Or maybe if I admit I need more help than I'm currently receiving, it's not going to mean that I'm weak or that I'm a bad mom.
No, mm-hmm. It makes you so strong. And I wrote a blog post just kind of saying I have postpartum depression. And I did that for myself because it helped me take the first step of acceptance. Mm-hmm. But through that and through talking about it and through people kind of finding out through other people, I have talked to so many women and they have just opened up to me, and I now have such a new compassion and empathy for them, but it also has made them braver, and and that is, like, the biggest thing for me, and now I'm like, this is why I went through this, to help others, and just, I mean, it really has helped me, you know, strangely enough, it's the beauty from the ashes, so.
I love that. What is your favorite part of being a mom, Elizabeth?
My favorite part about being a mom, I think, would be just seeing the smiles that come from your kids. I mean, it's not all the time, it's not every day, but it's just those moments where you're like, oh, this is what it's supposed to be like, you know, like just that hug or I love you, mama, or just that time that we can spend and you kind of walk away from it, not exhausted, but rejuvenated, which is crazy to me because being a mother is so hard and so much work. Yes. So I think that's my favorite part. And just like what I have learned about myself and my patience. And that's just, I have become a better person because I'm a mother.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Do you feel like an extraordinary mom on a day-to-day basis?
No. Yeah. No. But see, that's where, again, I have embraced where, like, it's stuff such as minuscule as I made a list yesterday of 4 things I had to accomplish. And at the end of the night, I scratched off the last thing and I was like, you're awesome.
Yes.
And you know, it was like laundry, you know, do the dishes and make Christmas cards.
Yeah.
And so, but like, so in those moments, that's where you have to just grasp those times and tell yourself, you're awesome.
Because there's people looking in on you, like your friend who nominated, who said, you're an extraordinary mom. Like you are the one, Elizabeth, that came to her mind.
Yeah.
So you are extraordinary. And we just need to, like you said, like focus on those good moments and really just pat yourself on the back because your kids aren't really going to do it for you usually.
No.
So we kind of have to do that to ourselves.
Of leaving the corporate life and going into stay-at-home mom. I don't get a peer review. You know, maybe I do by know, somebody yelling at me, but.
Yeah. No, exactly. And so I just want to encourage you that you're doing an amazing job. And the more that we can really validate ourselves and view ourselves as doing an amazing job, not perfect,
right.
Still struggling, still figuring things out. It's always a process. But the more we can validate ourselves, I think that's when we'll have the confidence to validate other people more and cheer each other on.
Because
it's when we're self-critical that we feel really kind of edgy with each other and like comparative with other moms.
Yes.
Not helpful.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
It's not.
So good.
It's great to come along and just hug each other. And when you see that person in the grocery line behind you with a screaming kid, you just
smile.
You're doing it.
You
good
got
job,
it.
Because I've had women do that to me and I'm just like, oh, thank you.
Instead of the eye roll, right? You can eye roll or you could smile at them.
Yes.
You choose.
Yes. Yeah.
I love that. Well, I just think you're extraordinary and I'm so, so glad to know you and to honor you this month.
Thank you.
Always ask my guests one final question and it's this.
Okay.
What would you tell your pre-motherhood self?
Okay. Well, I think this is kind of funny. The first thing that came to my mind when you said that is embrace your body for how it was because it will be different. But then in learning that, now you can embrace your body now. And also just really soak up those times like you are not tired, and you really capture all of the moments that you have with your husband alone and just yourself alone and not being as responsible as you're going to be now, but also that you are an amazing woman and that no matter what comes your way, you're going to make it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'm so glad to know you, Elizabeth. I'm so impressed with you and inspired by you. So congratulations. You're our Extraordinary Mom of the Month for the podcast. Yay!
Thank you. I appreciate it.
you're a delight, and I hope that you continue to thrive in motherhood and continue on this journey of being your best self.
Thank you very much.
You're awesome.
Thank you so much.
Have a great day.
Thank you.
Isn't she great? Can you see why I picked her? Man, it takes so much bravery to tell your story with that kind of honesty, and it can really empower and inspire so many women. So I thank Elizabeth for sharing her story and for being our Extraordinary Mom of the Month award winner. Thank you for nominating her. She is such a delight, and I'm glad to know her now. So coming up on next week's episode, I have Jackie Richards for you. Jackie is an extraordinary mom of one little boy named Clifford. Isn't that so cute? And she suffers from rheumatoid arthritis. She's a young person. So when you think arthritis, you don't usually think of a young person. But this chronic pain that she deals with every day has really impacted her motherhood. And before becoming a mom, it impacted her differently even than it does now. And she's really taken charge of her life by making changes in her lifestyle and health and eating and things like that to really improve her quality of life. In addition, when I first reached out to her, I wanted to talk with her about arthritis. But over the course of recording and scheduling everything, she also found out that she had thyroid cancer. So we also chat a little bit about that. She's an extraordinary mom who's dealt with some extraordinary things in her short life. And I know you're going to get so much out of how she's dealt with this adversity and how she has continued to thrive as a mom. So thanks so much for joining me on the podcast today. As always, you can follow me on Instagram at JessicaDahlquist3, on Facebook at Extraordinary Moms Podcast, and on our website, ExtraordinaryMomsPodcast.com. You can also see a cute picture of Elizabeth there with her family. If you want to do me a favor today, if you'll hop over onto iTunes and leave me a review, it would mean so much to me. Leaving that rating or a review really helps new moms to find the podcast because it bumps us up in the ratings. So it's not just for me to inflate my ego, I promise. The more reviews we have, the more recognition we get, and it's easier for moms to find the podcast when they're searching for inspiring content like this. So I love when I hear from you guys that you stumbled upon the podcast and you're so glad that you did. You guys, that really makes my day. I also accept direct messages on Instagram, and I love hearing from you. I love hearing your nominations for people that you think need to be on the show. I love hearing your comments and feedback from individual episodes. Just shoot me a message. If you have a thought on your mind and you want to share with me, I would love to hear from you. You can also email me at jessica@extraordinarymomspodcast.com, and you can always send over referrals to other new moms that you think that I should have on the show. We have some great episodes coming up in December. Can you believe it's December? I can't. But it's my favorite time of the year, and I hope it is for you too. So if you're struggling right now, I hope that you can just find joy in this season. And if from nothing else, maybe implement that Light the World challenge and the acts of service every single day so that you can really look outside of your own circumstances that maybe you can't change or impact right now, but you can definitely impact the feelings and the circumstances of others by doing simple acts of service. So thanks for joining me today. Check in next week for Jackie's episode. I know you're going to love it. And I'll see you next week for another episode with another extraordinary mom. Bye.